Welcome to Effortless Manifesting with Candace Cherie. Here you will learn to transform your life, heal your past, and become the person who has it all. Effortless Manifesting is your one-stop shop for all things manifesting. Stick around and join us for laughs, love, and new beginnings.
Can't get enough of that golden girl, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we're recording. Take it away when you're ready.
Okay. All right, everybody, we are back, and we were just having some weird conversation.
I did not know. I'm going to have a talk with our guy about recording when we don't want him to record.
No, he's doing so good at that, catching you saying really dumb things.
Oh, I do that all the time anyway.
So we're talking about the Twin Flame community, and we're about to call y'all out. This is going to be a controversial episode. Okay, where are you going? Get back here.
So controversialized.
Grabbing your butt.
I'm just kidding. It's a topic, guys.
It's a good topic, okay? Because There's so many people that are
twin flaming,
heavily indoctrinated by the twin flame community, okay? And this episode might trigger you, but if it does, it's good. It means that there's something that, you know, needs to be addressed.
Pause.
So, oh yeah. Oh, we're just looking at ourselves.
Bill, we're just looking at ourselves.
No,
we need time.
I like it. Leave it back there.
Okay.
Just go. I'm not even looking at myself. I'm looking at the...
I know, but...
Why'd you have to say something?
Because how the heck are we supposed to know when stuff...
Who cares? Just go.
I'm going.
Just talk.
You talk.
You just ruined my free moment of not...
Look, you have the... You just revert back to this and you'll have all the free moments
all
you
right,
want.
So back at it. We were looking...
Right, who gave George caffeine?
I know.
That would be George.
See? This episode is very different than episode two.
Well, you have to keep it dynamic.
Now, okay, so we can figure out what you want to keep in this. I don't even care. People,
I don't care. Let them know who we really are, yeah. I say.
The monitor was showing our faces, and it gets distracting because then You just look at yourself instead of the camera.
Because then I'm just like, oh, who's that guy?
Yeah, he just checks himself out all the time.
And then you're asking me questions. I'm like, huh?
All right. So back to Twin Flames. We're talking about Twin Flames and the destruction of the Twin Flame community that can happen to you if you are manifesting a person. All right, so we're going to get into it, and we're going to get real with y'all.
It's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt.
But it's the truth.
Okay, so most of you, not most of you, but if you're watching this or listening to this and you think you're in a twin flame relationship, this is for you, okay? And even if you're not in a twin flame relationship, this episode is still going to benefit you because we are going to be talking about romance and love and all sorts of things, okay? So keep listening. This is good for you.
Okay? Yes.
So George and I used to believe we were in a twin flame relationship. He only believed it because I brought it to him, because my friend brought it to me. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's what this is.
And I did everything.
This was before I learned about law of assumption. Okay. And parts of it were beneficial in the sense that I was like, okay, he's coming back. Like, that was the only thing that I learned from the twin flame community, was that he's going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe also about the, like, you need to heal part, because they do talk about healing a lot. So, but let's get into some things that they tell you that are completely wrong. All right. So first.
The first one.
So I know we need sound effects.
We do.
So there is always a chaser and a runner. So listen. So many people are saying, oh, my person's a chaser or a runner. I'm the chaser. And 99% of the time, it's the woman saying, I'm the chaser and he's the runner, which is code for I'm hyper-freaking masculine and my person is not attracted to that and they're in their wounded feminine and we don't have polarity.
Babe, you know what I just realized?
What?
Looney Tunes.
The coyote, what the heck?
The coyote and the roadrunner were twin flames. They must have been twin
That's
flames.
That's so funny. That's a cute analogy. I like that.
It's the truth. That ain't
so running. Yeah, one's always running, one's always chasing, when really it's just you have unhealed trauma. You are completely obsessed and you are in a needy energy, chaser energy. Yes, you're chasing, chasing, chasing. And your person is repelled by that. It's mm-hmm. not because it's part of some evolutionary process to get you to union. That's not why. It's because you have trauma. All right. So I still was believing that for a long time until I started understanding law of assumption, was like, oh, that's whack. That's not it. That's not the way.
Right.
Right. We don't want to do that anymore. We don't want to be thinking that anymore.
Wait, was the coyote and the roadrunner Looney Tunes?
I don't know.
Or was it something else?
It was probably made by the same people who did Looney Tunes.
Okay. Chaser, runner, go.
Chaser, runner. So you're chasing or your partner's chasing you and you're running away because there's no polarity, there's no attraction left. When two people are in the same energetic energy, if I'm masculine and he's trying to be masculine, there will be no attraction. There will be no physical, romantic, sexual attraction.
100%.
It'll be like, ugh, and you will, and your person won't even know why. They won't even know why they're not attracted to you right now, unless they study this stuff, right? If they do study this, then they'll get it. Oh, my partner's being too masculine. I need her to be more in her feminine or whatever it is. Like when I'm too masculine, it creates like...
It repels me.
It repels him.
Because I feel like that's kind of what I'm supposed to be doing. And yes. When you put yourself kind of in that position of like, I got this, I'm going to handle this. I'm like, honey, give it to me. I freaking got it.
Yeah.
Stop everythinging.
Yeah.
I got it. Like, give me some room to display the energy that I have within, mm-hmm. the masculine energy that I need to display. So that way I can thrive in my energy, but you can also feel comfortable and open you up to you being the feminine. Yeah. That's the job. That's the role.
That's what I want to be.
You know,
I don't want to be masculine. I'm just used to being masculine. I was raised by a masculine woman who was raised by a masculine woman. And so we were just, and my sister's the same way. We were just taught to just be strong, independent women. That's just how we were raised. And that has saved me many, many times in my life, but not in relationships. It doesn't benefit me in a relationship. Except when I have to protect myself and take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with George wanting to be strong masculine for me, I got to knock it off. I can't be hyper masculine for him because what's he good for if I can do it all, right?
Right.
So many of you ladies are like, I can do it all. I'm a boss. I can do everything. Well, then what do you want a man for? What's the point?
Is it just to kind of like validate the continued need that I don't need a man? Like who knows what that is?
Yeah. It's not benefiting you. You can do it all because women are amazing and we can do everything.
Of course.
However, we don't want to do everything. We don't want to do it all.
What a coincidence. Neither do we. That's awesome.
I don't want to do it all. I don't want to do all the masculine tasks.
Right.
I want him to do the masculine tasks so I can do the feminine things. And that's what creates polarity. So that's a long roundabout way to talk about chaser runner. Okay, so knock that idea off. That's not a thing. That's you both have trauma. That's it. Okay, so you have to be in separation, right? You're taught you have to be in separation with your partner, with your person, and that it's part of the journey. It's part of the process, and sometimes it comes.
I mean, it might be.
Sometimes it comforts you because you're like, oh, well, I know we just have to be in the separation so we can heal and da-da-da and like, okay. But when it's over and over and over and over again and it's constant and you've been at this for years and some people say, I haven't been with my specific person in 15 years and I'm still attached to them. I'm like, what are you doing? Why?
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you're still in limerence with this person because that is not love. Okay, if you can't move on, if you can't even have another relationship, if you're so heavily attached to somebody for 15 years, there is a lot of trauma there that needs to be addressed. And when it is addressed, your need and your attachment to them will go away.
And I believe I know why, or one reason I know why for me. I was in the same situation before where I was in limerence with a lot of other relationships.
Mm-hmm.
When I finally was able to remove that, it wasn't just the removal of it that did it. That was the start. The finish for me was learning I can trust myself. Mm-hmm. My judgment is not skewed despite what I was or wasn't taught in childhood early on.
Yeah.
And I don't have to do things constantly, quote unquote, and I hate this word, right or mm-hmm. correct, right? It's not about the rightness or how correct or accurate you are in your life anyways.
Mm-hmm.
We can't assign success with how accurate was I in doing everything, because everything is journey oriented. We have goals and we live in our goals and we live in the end, but the journey kind of decides itself. And it's only when we didn't get that goal is because we stepped in and decided we still had to govern the journey too. You know what I mean? And I am such a, like, I could talk about that for hours, please.
No, that was great. I appreciate you sharing that. The next thing that people say is you can never fully be with a twin flame. Somebody said that to me recently on one of our videos where they're like, I think I was calling out twin flames in one of my TikToks or something, and they said, oh, well, you can't be, you can never really fully be with a twin flame, so you're not with a twin flame. And I was like, that is so toxic. First of all, who invented this? Who invented this concept?
You know what it is? There are so many things out there, guys, that we're kind of being fooled or duped into believing where, you know, how many years has love been around, honey? Like
infinite?
62 trazillion?
Yeah.
You know, right? This is just another version of it that somebody put a brand on it. They labeled it. They, you know, packaged it up and said, look how pretty this thing looks. Oh, now we got twin flame. Now we got something completely new. No, we don't.
Yeah.
It's completely the same stuff, but packaged differently to market something new to you. But it ain't new.
Yeah. So what was I saying? Oh, yeah. Never being able to fully be with a twin flame.
Yeah.
It's really silly to say that. And if you're saying that, you have drunk the Kool-Aid. All right. You're drinking the Kool-Aid. And is it benefiting you?
Kool-Aid.
Is it blessing you? I know, we need some Kool-Aid. But is it honestly, is it blessing you? Is it getting you what you want?
Right.
No, it's not. It's limiting you. So this idea that you can never be with a person because somebody invented this concept and now we have to live by it, whoever invented it 100 years ago or whenever this even came about, I don't even know.
It's really silly.
It's not going to get you what you want. In the end, you're not going to have a healthy relationship if you keep thinking of it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next one, this one is huge that I hear people say a lot, that they are in a karmic relationship and have to experience it first to be with you.
Ah, karmic.
They call it karmic relationships. What that means is that you're with somebody, like your past relationships would have been quote unquote karmic relationships. And now you're with your twin, but you had to be with your karmic to then be with me. And really, when you break it down, sometimes people need to experience things to recognize what they really want. That's a thing. But there's no karmic. There's no you have to have this relationship with this person who's making you suffer for you to then be with someone who doesn't make you suffer.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, oh, he's with his karmic right now and he's married to his karmic and now I want him back and da-da-da. Like, no, girl, that's not it. That's not it. That's not the vibe that we are here, okay?
That makes it sound like everything in our future is already predestined for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't the case. Our decisions shape it.
Right.
Our thoughts shape it, and the states that we embody shape it.
Yeah. You get to change every single moment. If you decide, I want to be an astronaut, you're going to all of a sudden start learning about being an astronaut and going into this whole field, and you made a completely new life change. And while you're in the middle of it, you might say, nah, never mind. I want to be a pro volleyball player. Okay. And you're going to go over here. You get the choice to change the direction of what you want to do in your life.
Okay? Isn't it amazing how the universe shifts that for you when you embody those states? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's because that the creation is done. There's infinite versions of reality that you can embody, you can jump into that already have existed and have already happened. It's like what deja vu is. It's already happened. You're recognizing a truth that's already happened. So
trippy. I love it.
I know.
I love the trippy stuff.
So let's see. Oh, that you might reunite. So this is one of the reasons why twin flame concept is one that you need to remove from your vocabulary, because people think, I might not reunite with my person. I might not be able to do it until the next life.
Oh.
People say that a lot. Like, it's not going to happen in this lifetime. My twin flame and I aren't meant to be in this lifetime. We're meant to be in the next lifetime. When really what's going on is you're in limerence and you're attached heavily and you can't fathom the idea of having a different relationship. And when George and I were separated the last time and I said, you know what? If someone else comes along that makes me feel the way that he does, we have the same connection, I feel the same way, I will date them. I never said it has to be George or I will die. Mm-hmm. I never said I'm going to cut myself off from any other romantic opportunity because it has to be this one person. And most of you are in that state where you're like, it has to be this one person or I don't want anything ever. That limits you. And that doesn't mean that you can't have that one person, because obviously he came back to me, but I didn't cut myself off energetically from opening up. I tried to date a lot. I went on like 50 first dates, because nobody really held a candle to him. Within 30 seconds, I would know, I don't like the way he looks. Like, not the looks, but I don't like the way his hair is. I was so picky. I was so ridiculous.
I don't like the way he sounds. That accent.
No, I really couldn't.
Surgically remove it. Otherwise, we can't continue. Like,
if they had a weird voice, I couldn't. I'm so auditory. He knows how auditory I am. If they had like a weird name, I would swipe left. I couldn't do it because I can't imagine myself saying that name every day. I know. I'm highly neurotic when it comes to things.
How many times have we come close to you divorcing me because I sneezed?
No.
Like, you hated that sound. You're and so I had to dumb. Blow my nose. You're like, I'm leaving. You know, I get it. I love your auditory little thing.
I have mesophonia. It's a real thing. And where you are highly sensitive to sound and noise and chewing and snoring and mouth noises and nose noises. And
you called me an auditory nightmare
you
one time.
You are an auditory nightmare.
I bite my
nightmare.
Cheek and I blow my nose and I sniffle and I blink. She can hear the blinking. Like, it. How do you do that?
If I didn't love him so much, I wouldn't be able to put up with it. But I love him so much, like, I can like turn that part of me off a little bit. But nobody knew could come into my life and do those things. I would have been like, nope.
And I'm honored.
If they smelled weird, if they had bad cologne, but I set the bar so high. He's smelling himself. I set the bar so high, but I knew if I would have wanted and waited out for it, I would have got it. But what I got was this guy, even better. I got an even better version of him that was ready and committed and wanting to be with me and fully just like, let's do this.
And willing to learn. In the process, and that was the big thing, is I didn't know it all. I barely started learning to know it when we first got together like that again permanently. And
yeah.
I'm still learning, but I've achieved so much.
Yeah, and I think we're always learning. It's just always an evolution for us. And when you're with a person that is really good for you, you will continually be pushed by each other and grow and learn and evolve. And that's what makes the relationship feel good still after years of being together.
And if you trigger each other and you don't know what to do about it, this could lead to a lot of issues and a lot of pushing away permanently. But on the surface and deep down within, if that person is triggering you, this is actually not a bad thing. It's telling you that there's passion behind things. It's telling you that certain things are popping out and coming to the surface because they're forcing me to grow, because I care about this person and love this person so much that I also, too, deep down inside, desire change for myself and with them. It's when you start getting to a point where you're like, I just don't care anymore. I'm just not going to even talk about it. I'm just not even going to address it. I'm just going, whatever. It's fine. Do whatever you want. That's when things are bad. That's when the walls kind of like cave in. You shut down and there's complete separation emotionally and spiritually.
Yeah. And I want to talk about the difference between triggers, somebody triggering you and abusing you.
Oh, yes.
There's a big difference. Okay. Triggering you is, it can be as simple as your partner doesn't text you back as much. And you're like, oh, I have this abandonment, right? Or they assert a boundary that you're like, I feel abandoned. I don't like that. But abuse would be, hey, I'm going to just give you an example of this. Hey, girl that I'm dating, I'm going to go be with 5 other girls. And I just want to be friends with benefits with you. And I just want you as a convenience. And you're over here being like, oh, but I love you. And I'm going to keep giving myself to you this way because I want your love. But they're over there treating you like a rag doll and not putting you as a priority. And you're triggered by that. Yeah. But really, they're not treating you right. And that's not okay. And I don't recommend you just like hang out for that and just wait. You need to then focus on yourself, set boundaries and say, you're not getting close to me until you're not close with them. Like, have some respect for yourself, have some boundaries and say, if that's what you want, if you're not okay with friends with benefits and you want to be with them exclusively. You don't give yourself in the hopes that they're going to change their mind because they had you. That's not how men work, right? Men want what they work for. They do. They don't want it to be as easy for them to get. They want a challenge. And so if you're just giving yourself plus five other girls are giving themselves to him, what does he have to work for? He doesn't care. He's just going to keep being toxic and gross. So it's true.
Whatever he's into, right?
He's being gross if he's not taking care of you and your needs exclusively, and you want that. And that's what you want. Because honestly, a true masculine man does not want to date multiple women. He doesn't. He wants one woman, and he wants to pursue her, and he wants to be with her, and he wants to be exclusive. Okay? So, but it's your job to heal your trauma and change your self-concept and level up and stop being the version of yourself that would allow that kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. Even from your, quote, twin flame. It's not acceptable. Okay? It's not acceptable. Do you want to add anything to that?
No, you added everything.
All right. All right. Sorry.
It's all good.
So the last one, finally, not the last one, but the second to last one, you will have union. Oh, you're in union now, they say. And so many times when George and I were together and I would hear people talk about this and be like, oh, you guys are in union. Like,
no, I didn't form a union. I work for myself.
Right.
I didn't understand.
It's silly. It's silly because what?
You know, like forming a union.
Oh, yeah. No. So the problem with that whole concept is that you're still thinking of it as like this achievement versus we healed our trauma and now we're not triggered and now we're growing our beautiful relationship. But you put all these labels on it and it just limits you.
Yeah, labels limit.
It really does. They really do. It really limits you putting all these labels on your relationship and listening to all these toxic people telling you that, oh no, he's in a karmic, or oh no, she's got to do this still, or whatever the story is. You control your own future, but it starts with you. Don't expect your person to step up for you and to be what you need if you're not stepping up for you. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't expect him to be everything for me if I'm not being everything for me too, because he can't carry the weight of our relationship on his back only. I need to take care of me first. I need to heal. I need to be the best version of me. I need to feel like a goddess every day and take care of myself. And even if I have a day where I don't feel good, whatever, if I'm consistently doing what I need for myself, he's consistently doing what he needs to do for himself, then we can come together in a beautiful way. So.
At the end.
Pretty much.
So with these, what we're kind of talking about is like on the next one, people wanting to feel that exclusivity, kind of justifying the state that they're in limerence. So they create that label. They slap it on something that already exists and boom, you got this like new fad. And that's kind of what I think people do. We tend to create things because of either boredom or we want to, you know, look at something in a different light. So that way it attracts us in a new way that we haven't felt before. But it's not the universe's job to change everything on itself for you. It's up to you to change you to mm-hmm. see the differences that are already there. And you don't need to create exclusivity. You don't need to call it a twin flame to romanticize and justify why this person who may or may not be the right mm-hmm. person for you continues to show up so we could feel exclusive or comfortable.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, you're just limiting yourself. And you're saying, well, I'll be with my twin someday. Mm-hmm. And it makes you feel special. When I first learned about twin flames, I felt very special. It was like, ooh, I found my twin flame. This is why I can't let go of him. This and this and that. And you romanticize it. When, like you said, most of you are in limerence. You're not in love. And we have a whole episode on that. Hopefully you watched it. If you haven't, go back and watch the episode on limerence. Because it's very important to understand where you are in your relationship. What are you actually creating in your life? Where are you there, right? And you want to stop giving your power outside of yourself. Stop giving your power to tarot and psychics and what everyone else and their dog says about your relationship. No. What do you want? It starts with you. How do you want to shape it? But what are you doing to shape it? What are you healing your trauma? Are you actually healing your trauma? And that's where I come in. I can help you do that. Working with me one-on-one or joining my goddess program. Mm-hmm. Those are two amazing ways to help you heal your trauma. You can also get my Manifest a Specific Person workbook that gives you an outline detailed explanation of how to heal your trauma and all sorts of other things. It's like 60 pages long and it's amazing. And this workbook will help you so, so much. Make sure you go get that on our website. Everything is linked. Wherever you're listening to this or watching it, it's all linked below. Easy for you. Right?
You can access her all over the place.
All over the place. I'm everywhere. Even on Pinterest.
Omnipresent.
That's right. So if you are ready to heal your trauma and you're ready to level up and you're ready to stop believing that other things control you but yourself and you don't want to be attached to these labels anymore, I got you. Send me a DM over on Instagram for my free mini course about healing your trauma, but also how to join the Effortless Goddess program. It's a 6-month intensive program that will change your life, transform you. You will feel like an amazing goddess.
Forever.
Yeah. These are skills that I will be teaching you that you can use for the rest of your life. It will change your life. So send us a DM for that. Also, if you don't have Instagram, that's okay. You can send a message to assistant@effortlessmanifesting.com.
Hey there, honey.
Hi. What? Oh. Hi. And if you want one of our products, we have tons of products that will help you, meditations, workbooks, ebooks, all of this. You can use the code MANIFESTLOVE to save $10 on any of our products. So we thank you for being here. Again, drop the twin flames. It's not working for you. I promise you, it's not going to get you what you want.
She will.
Yeah, that's right. I'll help you. So have a great day and we'll talk to you soon.
And we love you.
Bye.
No woman looks better than you look right now and no one ever will.
What was that from again?
Golden Girls.
Golden
I love
Girls.
Golden
it was
Girls.
So cute.
Those are the cutest ladies ever.
I know.
Can't
I
believe
them.
They're all dead. What the crap?
I know.
I would have liked to have witnessed a Golden Girls cereal, but that's fine. Golden I digress.
Cereal? Would that be Blanchard's?
Like the four faces of all the women, but
in God, a cereal?
Well, how would that work?
Are we supposed to go? We're supposed to go.
Are we going?